listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 19th, somehow. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm so glad to be here. I know we got so much to talk about, but really I'm glad to be here. We've been away these past few weeks and we're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to it. And, you know, it's been, it's been weird being away and not having, you know, this be part of your routine. I tell you, very thankful for the internet.
Sure.
Especially when, you know, everything is cloud-based these days, you really learn to love it and appreciate it. But yeah. Thank you to those that have taken the time to catch up with us again. Thank you for everybody joining us live. We appreciate you coming back. I know it's been, we were just talking about this, Dr. Vicki, three different broadcast dates that we missed because of, you know, we were out of power and then internet. So I think it's been about a month almost since we had our last broadcast.
It is. We've all been in withdrawals.
I know I have. And, you know, I thought so many times, like, that'd be a great thing to, you know, talk about or to discuss or bring up. Of course, I didn't write them down, so they don't do us any good right now. But we thank you for coming back. Just kind of playing around, joking. But we thank you for coming back. And, of course, Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. As always, our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And getting back into the rhythm of things, we'll of course start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. 1 planet, 1 race, 1 ancestry, and 1 destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, excited to get into tonight's topic. Seems rather relevant to talk about the power of nature, and this is one of those things, you know, I'll just speak for myself, you get kind of in this little bubble where, you know, everything is, you know, you have a climate-controlled house, you have a climate-controlled car, you go into your office, you know, and the only time you have to really deal with the elements is when you're walking the dogs or doing lawn work or, you know, planting stuff or what have you. But you always have a relative amount of control over it. It's storming outside, you go inside, you still have all your civilization and things like that. But it's definitely times like this, and it's not the first time, but, you know, here we are again. Actually, 18 years, almost, you know, to the month. It's about, this hit about 5 weeks after Charlie had hit in 2004.
Yeah.
And very similar. We were out of power, infrastructure. We were out of water for a while, but it was about 3 weeks, I think, before we had electricity after the storm in Charlie in 2004. Did a little better this time. Internet took a while, but it's these kind of things that, you know, nature smacks you across the face and says, you know, don't forget about me. I'm here. Remember your place, things like that. But there's more to it than that. You know, obviously the motivation for this is going through a hurricane like this. And obviously there's a lot more when it comes to the power of nature and how, intricately our lives are interwoven with the natural world around us. So there's a lot of avenues to explore. And, you know, Dr. Vicky, any thoughts that you've had on this?
I'd like to start off by saying in no way do I want to minimize the suffering of those who lost so much, including lives.
Absolutely.
Through Ian and people who are going through, you know, other natural disasters. But it is a great time to think about appreciation. And how you started off, Michael, you know, we tend to take a lot of things for granted in our lives, mm-hmm. and how we appreciate. Like, for instance, even this program, we're not able to get together, you know, those three Wednesdays, and how much we appreciate being able to get together and have these discussions. And like you say, nature in a heartbeat can say, I got other plans going on. And for us to really ground ourselves into understanding that we live with nature, not against nature. We don't mm-hmm. control nature. You know, we have to be considerate of all the things that nature is bringing our way. I know the jet streams have changed over the earth since mm-hmm. in the last 10 or 12 years. So the wind patterns have changed. You know, there's droughts and there's... now it's getting cold so we have so many things to consider, and we're not going to talk about climate change. That's not what tonight is about. Tonight is understanding and living with nature as she's doing her thing, mm-hmm. and how we can all learn in better ways. And right now, Michael, I know that you and your family all being okay, albeit having suffered some damage and great inconveniences, are okay, and it's a time to appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just for our listeners, personally, I made out very well. I, you know, didn't take any damage to my home, but, you know, just like most people, had trees that came down, a fence came down in large sections. But considering a lot of the people that had major damage, people that lost their lives, you know, I'm very thankful, very, you know, appreciative of, you know, my luck and the fact that it could absolutely be worse. You know, my folks, to those that haven't seen on any of the Facebook updates, Dr. Kelly and Tracy Kelly, they were both trapped in their house. Water came up to the door and garage, and it was about 4 feet at the road. They're in a bit of a flooded area, so their house had to be built up and on a mound, and thankfully it was. But, you know, that's an interesting thing, you know, using a kayak to get, you know, food and gas out to your parents and, you know, get them supplies. So that's an interesting thing. There's pictures that have been put on Facebook, if you've seen them, that show my father getting the kayak to come out and meet me where I drive in to bring in supplies. But, you know, it's wild looking out and seeing, you know, water just covering large areas. Most, and I'm getting some questions, I did not get flooding personally. I don't live in a flood area. Luckily, I'm 15 feet above sea level in my house. In Florida, I might as well be on the top of a mountain. This is like, I might be on the highest point in Florida. I'm not sure. It's a very flat state. But I was lucky to be in a good area. Like I said, my folks had flooding. My office where I work had... The neighborhood was flooded, but again, that plaza was up a little bit, so it was spared, but a lot of water everywhere. I probably foolishly am learning to find out. I estimate I was driving through probably about 2 feet of water on the road, going through the local area here. Mm. And, so, you know, it just took forever. I was talking with you, Dr. Vicky, prior to the beginning. When you're just, you know, hunkered down, and I'm, you know, I wasn't terribly worried, you know, a little bit, you have this concern because you know all the numbers and stuff, but by and large, you know, there's going to be a lot of property damage, and unfortunately, there will be people that lose their lives, and there were over 100, and it's, you know, tragic in a lot of cases that it was, you know, people that didn't evacuate. Good advice to always, you know, listen to those things when they come up, but, and, you know, you kind of know what to expect when you've been through it before. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people have experienced. I know Tabitha was in chat talking about having been through a tornado And that's, you know...
Yeah, she says it's impossible to describe the feelings of destruction, and Mother Nature makes you feel so small.
Absolutely. I mean, you walk out and, you know, trees are just stripped bare, and, you know, the branch is gone, and, you know, just giant oaks just toppled over, like a giant came by and just pulled it out of the ground. Roots and grass and everything hanging off of it. It's impressive in a scary way. And
Dr. Ione is saying she lives in a bus and camping all the time. And she says being out in nature sure does make you respect her power. And when you do live in a way like that, I think you have a greater understanding rather than the, as I say, that cliche of brick and mortar, you know, grounded to a house. And there's often an assumption that, oh, I have a good, strong house, it'll be fine. But we forget about the trees and the flying debris and the things that can hit.
That being said,
you had some friends who evacuated from their area to your home, and they suffered some damage, didn't they?
Yeah, they had. Luckily, they didn't really have any flooding. They were in a flood zone. That's why they were told to evacuate because of the possible surge. But they lost some sections of their roof and soffit, but the interior was spared. And hopefully, it looks like no water damage. But, you know, it's you have to tarp the roofs and, you know, seal them up temporarily so that water doesn't get in the house. And it's all a lot of also just nobody's, you know, fence or yard came through. Everybody lost, you know, trees. A lot of people, like my friends, they lost trees that they'd, you know, planted and cultivated over time. Yeah. And it's, you know, worse things happen. You know, it's, you move on. It's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. But it just kind of sucks on a broad scale. And then for certain people, especially on the barrier islands, I was telling Dr. Vicky prior to the broadcast, the barrier islands, places that you might have seen in the news, Sanibel, Pine Island, and a lot of these places, they were just devastated because they took the full brunt of it and they didn't have any cover. And they took a storm surge and that water, you know, there were houses washed away, boats launched into the roads and things like that. They found a semi-truck out in the Gulf of Ways off one of the coasts of one of the barrier islands and just got hit, you know, pulled back in by the storm surge. And you see all these pictures that are insane. Like I live by a harbor and the harbor was drained, you know, dry before the storm hit. All the water was taken out of the harbor and you just look out and I didn't see it personally, but people will post pictures and you can look on social media. And it's just very interesting. And, you know, it's hard not to be odd in this kind of thing. I never really felt the panic about it myself. You know, I was a little worried and I was concerned, but you can't help but have this just sense of awe and appreciation for things like that.
You know, if I can interrupt for a moment, Wendy has said that she lived through Katrina and they were a month without power or running water. And
I was wondering about that.
She didn't evacuate because of her animals. And she's asked, how did all your animals do?
Oh, they were fine. It was a, you know, great vacation for them. You know, my friends brought their two pugs. So during the hurricane, you know, me and my friends are watching some downloaded shows on my iPad. And we're all a little nervous. We're all worried. You know, they're in a flood zone. We don't know what the storm surge is going to be like. You know, everything turned out pretty good, all things considered, for us personally, so I appreciate that. But at the time, we didn't know that, so we're all kind of hunkered there, concerned. And the dogs are just playing. They're fine. You know, I thought dogs were supposed to get, you know, worried during storms. Not mine. They were just having a ball.
Well, wait a minute. So you had three human beings, four cats, and four dogs in your house.
Yeah. And my older cats, they were kind of holed up in the closet, although it could have just as easily been because there were people with dogs over that they were worried about. But they seemed the most stressed. But my two kittens, they were fine. They were out, you know, sleeping on the, you know, high up areas and counters and stuff around us while we were out there. And just, they apparently knew that everything was going to be fine because they weren't concerned at all, it seemed like. But, you know, so thank you for asking. And, you know, Wendy, you definitely had the worst of it. You know, I see your question about flooding, and that makes a lot of sense going through that. That was the horrible part. And, you know, places like, you know, Barrier Islands, Pine Island, Sanibel, Fort Myers Beach, you know, these places, I didn't even know the extent of the damage until maybe 4 days in because I didn't have any cell service, really. I didn't have any internet. couldn't check the news, didn't have an antenna. You know, I had the radio in the car, but that was spotty, and you got, you know, kind of some descriptions about what was going on. But when my friend and I drove up to a town, you know, about 45 minutes north, where we could get, you know, supplies and things, I picked up a TV antenna finally and hooked it up, and I began to see some of the pictures of Fort Myers Beach. And that was just, you know, places that I had been to and know, and that was, you know, incredible and devastating. Yeah. And it was just tore at your heart seeing these homes and a lot of these old historic places just torn down. And, you know, just like you said earlier, Dr. Vicky, you know, it's not, there's nothing villainous about this storm. It just is. It's part of nature, yeah. And we have to work with it and we have to adapt. And that's, you know, in large part why things have gotten a little better. Hurricane codes have improved the survivability of these events. We learn to build in proper ways. That being said, a lot of times you have a lot of damage because these places by the water are very valuable and it's good real estate.
Yeah. So Dr. Mike is asking how your corn snake is, the one you posted on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, there's a serious debate if it was a corn snake or a red rat snake. I was thinking it might be a rat snake, but we have a couple of good corn snake contributions, and my friend thinks that as well. He's doing pretty good. He was actually kind of quite nice. I first found him because the dogs ran up to him, and they actually chased him up onto this area where I took the photo, where I have my hose, you know, on a my garden hose on a container, or you know. I can't think of words right now. But, you know, they were, you know, poking them with his nose, and I didn't quite know what it was at first, so I called them back, and then I checked it out. And nice enough little guy. I assume he's out in the yard doing his, you know, good works and good deeds. But he was fine. He didn't snap at the dogs at all, which I thought was, you know, mighty fine of him, you know. Pretty tolerant of him, so.
That's funny. You know, just to shift the conversation for a second, Dr. Greg has made an interesting comment that I'd only like to at least address, you know, briefly.
Yeah.
He said, a prominent metaphysician in the 1950s suggests natural disasters and other calamities are psychically caused by consciousness equally turbulent. And, well, you know, that's a tough one, Greg. I mean, I appreciate that our consciousness can contribute to the energy around. However, I think Earth also has her own consciousness and energy going on, and Earth will have her way with us. So no matter what we're thinking and how our energy is, and mind you, I do believe that we can project. I've had some really interesting experiences in my life where there was flooding everywhere except the house I was at,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it came up to the wall and then receded. Everybody else around got flooded. And not just once, it's happened like a few times in my life. So can we affect energy? I would like to think that we contributed to the minimal effects of those experiences, but I can't tell you absolutely because it's not a repeatable experiment.
That's
the problem.
And, you know, correlation doesn't always mean causation. We've had some devastating storms that have popped up here and there, and a lot of times they do seem to coincide with turbulent times, but that's because all times are turbulent times, and humanity just can't help itself. You know, there's always something interesting going on. Just you look at any piece of history, and in your history book, depending on where you go, you might just say, oh, and, you know, this and this happened. But that's hundreds of years. And a lot of that stuff, you know, when you get up close, it's rough. So, you know, we've always lived in interesting times. But when it comes to the natural disaster side, no. I will say that there is a, you know, calamities that can be caused by the group consciousness. I would say that during, you know, immediately after the storm, you know, nobody had power. Everybody needed fuel. Everybody needed, you know, supplies. 90% of everybody was really nice, worked with each other, you know, formed orderly lines and, you know, worked together to get stuff, naturally, just by instinct. And then you had people that didn't want to be nice. And, you know, we're not going to talk about some of them, but they know who they are. But, you know, so that's one thing you also have to look at is, yes, disasters as people that have gone through it. People like Tabitha, like Wendy, Dr. Owen has a close relationship with nature. Dr. Raven was posting about California consistently dealing with fires and earthquakes and having to adapt to that kind of lifestyle.
But if you're Mr. Trump, you think that's because they don't clean the forest.
Well, yeah. I mean, it only... I don't know what kind of mental gymnastics that requires, but yeah, and I know.
I couldn't but, help you know, myself. It just, I didn't even pause before I said it, Michael.
It sounds ridiculous, Dr. Vicky, because we all know it's the space lasers. So,
yes, of course it is. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know,
I think that we're experiencing at any time in history, nature will have her way with us no matter what we think, and especially coastal cities.
Now, yeah.
Just hear me, everybody. You live on a coast, which is a nice thing. It's going to take the brunt of whatever's going on, minus the tornadoes inland and et cetera.
Oh, true. And
but there's always going to be droughts. There's always going to be rain and flooding. There's always going to be those things. What we do have
lizards.
Right now, exactly, this, it's exacerbated. And again, things have shifted. And again,
without,
you know, because even Dr. Mike is saying he thinks climate change has the most effect on weather. And I think that it's just amplified.
Yeah.
Things exacerbated. And we've contributed to the imbalance of nature, which she would.
Oh, that's very true.
And I'm of the mind, Michael, nature would have her own things anyway. You have an earthquake.
Things of course.
Shift. And naturally, that's going to affect weather. But we have contributed. We've done our own share of contaminating.
Absolutely.
And so, again, the contributions. So we can't put blame, in my view, we can't put blame on one thing
just
another.
There is a nuance to it. But obviously, you know, I was having this discussion the other day where we're talking about, you know, the fact that we're just – I think there's a couple things. One, you know, we have, thankfully, the Weather Channel that can – take any storm, like tropical storm, you know.
Yeah.
They had a tropical storm that, you know, they were blasting on the news that was just a, you know, nothing. But, so everything kind of gets built up, but there is, you know, we are getting more storms. It is hotter. You know, our winters are shorter and hotter. You know, so we're feeling the effects, and, you know, I don't want to be controversial. I also don't want to be on record sounding like I'm, you know, not going along with the science on climate change, so I want to just throw that out there. But, it is. It is a change, and we are going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to adapt to it. I kind of think the whole stopping it ship has sailed. You know, I think good efforts and good intentions by a lot of good people, but humans are humans. You know, it's hard to say. We're going to deal with it. It's going to suck, and we're going to have some ways to deal with it. But by adapting to nature, by going with nature and trying not to fight nature and trying to better our balance and harmony with nature, like you said, both through pollution and building methods. We're talking about, you know, mining and all kinds of different things that can be done in a responsible way. And I think that's important.
Well, Dr. Zach had to throw in some humor. He said, oh, so God's not punishing us. That's a relief. I thank you, Zach. You always do see a lighter side of things.
I know. So. I mean, I did jokingly think to myself of looking at the map on the Weather Channel. I only after I got some signal again, I barely got an update on the hurricane tracker, but the thing came right up the harbor, like right at us. I'm like, what did I do? I'm so sorry, everybody. I must have done something. God's mad at me. He's sending it right at me. But, you know.
Well, I think that, and by the way, everybody, the eye did go right over Michael's home in his area, which is really, I think, ominous in a way.
Well, it is. But, you know, if we're going to get caught in the, you know, storm, I will say it was actually better to be where we were as opposed to the south of us where the winds and storm surge came in worse. But, yeah, it was wild ride. And, you know, this is the second Category 4 that's hit my town in 18 years.
Yeah.
So prior to that, it had been, you know, we got in a Category 3 or something like that back in the 60s.
So, well, maybe you'll move back to North Dakota after all.
Hey, it's South Dakota. North Dakota is a barren wasteland. South Dakota is a paradise. Just remember that.
And it's cold.
No offense to any of you ND people out there, but
it's funny. You know, I do want to say that I think, again, without going into the big climate change discussion, it does factor in to some degree, and we are going to have to consider that.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's the appreciation for having, you know, all that we do have and the ability to recover and help each other out. And I know there's some bad apples out there, Michael. As you say, I go to work. As for those of you who don't know, I do part-time as a, you know, an ambassador at the hospital. And I'll tell you, people are in one area in a really bad mood most of the time.
Yeah.
And you do see that side of people. And it's to be who we are. And I know a woman at work today, a woman I work with asked me, especially since COVID, have people really changed that much, or were they already predisposed? And I think that's a really good discussion.
Yeah.
And how we tend to be changing socially, individually, and collectively, and in our groups and in our towns and the families. And I said, well, I have some theories. I think those who are reacting the worst at this moment were already predisposed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really amplified. So maybe that's something we can talk about next week, Michael, is, you know, social attitudes and how we're a changing society and how we can really correct that by standing in our own truth and what's right. I think that's where we need to be really strong.
I agree. I think that's a good idea. You know, always avoiding the mob mentality, you know, and avoiding the tensions and things that come from the environment we're in. And great topic. Absolutely.
And yeah, let's do it.
Sounds like a plan to me.
You know, I want to say I'm so glad we're going to – anybody who would like some cards, we'll try to, you know, watch our time and pulling cards for people. I know it's been a few weeks, and you can start putting your name in the chat. But I want to say, Michael, we have missed you. We are so glad you're all well and safe. Dr. Kelly and Tracy Kelly, all your critters, your other family, extended family. I know that you have in-laws, you have, you know, your brothers out there, and it's, you know, we're just so relieved that you are well, and
thank you.
We're back.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it myself, so I mean, I'm with you, but thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But yeah, and it's odd how you go from a period of such change, you know, everything's broken, no power, no supplies, no infrastructure, no water. And now, a few weeks later, it's like, things are kind of normal again, and you just move along about life, and that's kind of life in a nutshell. But I'm glad to be back. I've missed this. You know, I've missed going through the cards and talking about it. I've missed seeing the patterns, having our card keeper, Wendy, you know, keeping track with us. I've missed the gang, and I'm happy to be back, and thank you. So I think without further ado, I think we should start pulling some cards, and we're going to do the inner oracle, and we're going to do, Dr. Vicky, you're going to do some tarot cards.
I sure will.
All right.
I think if I have followed this, because they came up quickly, we have Dr. Mike first. So what have you got for Dr. Mike?
Dr. Mike, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Let's see. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, you know, Mike, what I immediately went to is you might be dealing with people who have that kind of an attitude. Not necessarily from yourself, because when you get these messages, it doesn't mean it's about you. It can also be about what you're dealing with. And what I pulled up here was the devil, which is conflict. And so when you're dealing with entitled people, you know, egotistical people, pumped up people, it can cause some kind of conflict. So I pulled the second card and it says temperance. So it's like you got to ride it out. You know what I mean? And I think you already know that. But it might mean that you're in a kind of as a sentiment at the moment. There could be a couple of situations that you're dealing with that you're saying, how do I deal with this? I just say, let it roll. Let people have whatever they need to think of. There you go.
Yeah.
Unless it's by principle, of course. If there's a principle at hand, then, as Dr. Kelly would say, you know, preference move over principle. Oh, you might have to say something.
All right. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm starting to feel a little called out there when you're talking. Are you talking about when Dr. Mike was on and the conflict that I inevitably caused? Because that sounds about right. But no.
You're funny, Michael.
But, all right. So we have Dr. Ione. You know, I think living the camping life, being my spirit guide in that regard, I love that lifestyle. Dr. Ione, have a great one. Wild card number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
I pulled the King of Hearts, Ione. So however that speaks to your life right now, I see here is someone's tugging at your heart. And I do see somebody declaring love for you. And I think I'm just going to leave it there. I'm seeing, like, you know, hearts flying around. So I think something is being professed to you, spoken to you, you know, a claim in that way. And I see hearts coming together. So, well, I hope I'm right there.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
I like it.
All right. So that's a good news. All right, for Raven, Michael, what have we got for Raven?
All right, Raven, I have my favorite card, wild card number 1, Paradox.
Oh, that paradox.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to, what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, an interesting thing when it comes to the Tarot and the Lovers card, which indicates passion and paradox, is maybe you're questioning what is the essence of love, what is love, what is passion. And, you know, most people think love immediately is intimate. Love is not just an intimate thing with another individual. It can be with art, it can be with expressions, it can be for yourself, and it's just this kind of a understanding the twofold of what love is. And really, what I want to add to that is we decide how love is going to act. You know, we all, you know, love will conquer all is silly because we assume then everybody knows what it is, but we're learning how to act in a loving way. So there's a paradox here for you, Raven, in that questioning what is love, and even, again, think of it in an artful way. So,
all right.
Whatever that message is.
You know, I couldn't help it, but when you were saying what is love, I got that song, you know, stuck in your head. You know, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just needed to, now that I have that song stuck in my head, if I can inflict that pain on
others.
Yes, exactly. I'd like to do so. The dog's got the dog gate down. So we know it's time to move on to the next card.
All Audra.
Right. Audra. I have wild card number 2, wild card kind of night, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed to go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Good card.
Well, Audra, this has to do with relationships and family. Again, it's giving it and then some. It's maybe thinking of something you haven't thought of before, or thinking of a new tactic, a new approach to communicating, but it's all in a positive way. And what I'm inclined to want to say to you is, as you're changing the tactic, give everybody else a heads up so that they can also learn there and then some. You know, it's to be creative in critical thinking. Boy, that's out on a limb, but yeah, that ten of hearts and then some, and it's about family. So
yeah. Mandy's pointing out that Audra had that card on July 13th. So
wow.
Yeah. See,
all right.
Always seen those.
And then some.
And then some. Seeing those patterns. And we have Anna next.
We do.
Anna, I have number 15, Belief Systems and Knowledge Base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lays outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Eight of Diamonds. That's your creativity. It's apprenticeship of expressions of yourself. I think what this is trying to say to you, Anna, is something you already know that you thought you couldn't do, but maybe you can. And it's just changing your belief system about yourself and what you're able to do and how you can express yourself and apply yourself in the future. So you're just doing a little revision in that way. So I want to give you a big cheerleader cheer for that one. So go for it.
I love it. I love hearing that. All right. We have Dr. Jeff next, if I'm not mistaken. And Dr. Jeff, I have number 42, Trust and Integrity. Let's see. Trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
You know, Jeff, I just had this sense that you might be feeling a little bit tired these days. I got the page of clubs in support of trust and integrity. You know, we all go through that kind of stuff. I'm going purely by intuition here. Is not feeling necessarily energetic about applying yourself and communicating or talking. And this is asking of you just to take a breath and find that new balance for yourself. Boy, I sure hope that makes sense. So it's trusting yourself and that integrity to say you're on a pause button. That's okay. And that you have no words today, but let the words come to you. So in other words, rather than pulling back, just pause until you're ready to step forward. So in whatever manner that applies to you, Jeff, I hope it makes sense. Okay, we have Jamil next, I think.
All right. And Jamil, I have number 33, Preference Over Principle. Let's see. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of principle, yield. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, it's very interesting. The Ten of Diamonds is here. I want to say in some kind of work application, Jamil, that could be dealing with finance, money, investment. But I also want to say applying to a work situation, fairness, equitability. And if you're feeling that something is a little unfair, look at the preference versus principle. So I'll leave it at that one. It's good. Right. You know, preference versus principle is one of my favorites.
It really is. It helps put things in perspective. You know, when
it does. We have Dr. Edward next, Michael.
All right. And Dr. Edward, I have number 36, Gratitude. Another great card. Gratitude is the joy that one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
This is kind of a puzzle to me, Edward. The Seven of Hearts, which can sometimes, that Seven of Cups, it can sometimes indicate illusion versus dream or reality, manifestation of a dream. But when you have gratitude and the Seven of Hearts, the feeling that comes to me on this is somebody kind of opposing you in what they think is real, you know, and it's, again, I want to go to preference principle on this one.
Save your sanity.
You know, having that gratitude, somebody's in your life and that, you know, they can speak their words as well, but who somebody, so they think you might be in the illusion. And how do you deal with that? So it's really an exercise for you and how you live in that place of gratitude. Sometimes I say, I'm just so glad I'm me. And that's my gratitude.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes sense to you, Edward. So we have to have the next, Michael. We're trying to roll through these.
All right.
A few more names. So.
I'm getting on it.
Yeah.
Crack that whip.
No pressure.
Tabitha, Tabitha, I have number 2, esteem and validation.
All right.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Oh, Tabitha, I got the world, and I simply want to say to you, all the elements are there. And honestly, that's kind of where I want to leave it. If I want to try to explain how esteem and validation come into that, you might be feeling a little low on yourself or a little inadequate at the moment or a little under the weather. And this is just the affirmation that all the elements are there and they're in your favor. You have everything in you that it takes to move forward. Sometimes we just need to reevaluate, take inventory, take a breath, you know, get a good night's sleep and say, you know, I got this. Because all the elements are there for you, Tabitha.
Very nice.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. We have Dr. Kevin next. I have wild card number 6, entropy. Another wild card and a great card. So, within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
I got the Jack of Diamonds for that one, Kevin. You know, it's about monitoring your energy and how your output. In some ways, it's to increase your energy and some ways to pull back a little bit. So in other words, be assertive but not aggressive, managing your entropy. So I also want to say when it comes up as one of the Diamonds of the Pentacles, it has to do with matters of work, finance, value for value. So energy you're putting out and what energy you're getting back. And I know sometimes we do a lot of things in life that aren't monetary, but are you getting something in return? And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Like, just to make myself feel better, because I don't think I'm making a difference here, you know? And so I think that's just the reminder here for you, Kevin. And It's certainly a good message, and it's certainly reflective of a positive. So you're on it.
All right. And we have our...
If I can just say for a moment that we've had a lot of comments. We're going to get to Wendy here in a second. Had a lot of comments in the chat and the feedback, and I really want to say I appreciate that. Tabitha has mentioned, we were talking about the world and self-esteem and so on. She said it makes perfect sense to her. She's scared she won't be smart enough to get the degree in the IMHS program. And she says seasonal depression isn't helping. Tabitha, take a breath. You've got this.
Absolutely.
It's not about being smart enough. It really isn't. It's about being patient enough with yourself to learn new skills, find neural pathways in your brain, how to make sense. And the seasonal depression, I want to say a lot of people, you know, especially if it's cloudy out a lot, you live in those areas or the winter's coming, vitamin D is really important. I'm not trying to play doctor here. I'm just saying that vitamin D is a culprit for a lot of people feeling seasonal depression. And it's not really oppression, it's actually oppression.
Yeah.
Where you just, your system is oppressed, and, you know, we visibly have these psych terms for it to say, oh, you're depressed, meaning you have some kind of emotional mental illness, and that's not the case at all. So, Tabitha, I just want to say this to you now. Be patient with yourself. You're in very good hands to have encouragement and learn new skills. So you will absolutely get through the program, and very well, I might add.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out. I'd been scrolling up looking for any names that I hadn't caught that. I'm so happy that we can talk about that, because absolutely, you're right. It's and Dr. Zaxson, you're saying it's your will, not your IQ.
Exactly.
But you also don't count yourself short. Everybody worries about that in a way. And depression, you know, seasonal oppression, as you called it, I think we can go back to what Dr. Greg was talking about earlier, and then, you know, combined consciousness. It does cause some maelstroms, at least psychological ones, because you feel that oppression of the other people around you and the general mood and the stress.
Yeah.
And, you know, I empathize that. I felt that a lot in my life, too. Not right now, though, because I have a kitten in my lap. But, you know, other times when I haven't had kittens in my lap, I have felt that. But,
So let's pull cards for Wendy. Thank you so much, Wendy.
Yes, absolutely.
For all that you do.
Our card keeper, Wendy. And thank you again. I mean, it's fascinating seeing the patterns and things that develop. And then we're going to go ahead and pull up another last card. But first, Wendy, for you, I have number 5, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable and diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. It's a good card, and a lot of times I need to remind myself of that, of not giving unsolicited advice. But
no, we all do. But I pulled the Hierophant for you. And in this case, I think what it's referring to is home routine and a rhythm, and kind of restoring that so that you feel like you're in better management of life. Yeah, Wendy's saying she had this back on August 31st.
Yeah, I had a vibe that it was familiar. But
yeah. You know, so I think I'll say the Hierophant in a word is conformity. But conformity to what? Conformity to a religion, conformity to work, conformity to what? And very often I see it just conformity to the rhythm of your life and your home. And as Dr. Kelly has said, you know, chaos is when things aren't, like, in order.
Mm-hmm.
So if you restore some order to things, like, are you rhythmed, you know, routined enough that you feel like you've got this and you don't feel quite so anxious about control? You know, we all want... like Geez, Michael, if you could control the weather,
eh? heck, you can control the weather. I just want to control, you know, hearts, minds, and ignorance. But yeah, by then, by which I mean remedying of, you know, correcting of. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And I think trying to control things that are outside of our control is, you know, just like trying to control the weather. It's not going to, all you can do is brace yourself and make the choices that are available to you. You know, you can't stop it from coming, but you can change how you deal with it. But, and then, I think that's everybody. And
I think it is, Michael.
Our card keeper, Wendy, had suggested a card for me this evening. And I thought,
Do you like a card, Michael?
I do. I'll go ahead and I'm going to pull one random, but I am really hoping that you put that devil card back in the deck and I get that.
I did.
Ha, nice. All right.
I'm shuffling.
If it comes up, I'm going to believe you, but don't do it on purpose. So, you know, let's see a randomized, mathematical, statistical reality telling me something in an oracle. Reinvention. Oh, that's fun. All right, reinvention, number 17. Let's go ahead and read it out. Nothing is more powerful or transformative, I can't speak tonight, transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, Michael, I pulled the five of clubs, and I said, okay, what's that about? And then I pulled the four of clubs. So, five of clubs very often is, and I think we can all relate to this, I see it as the victory after the battle. You know, there's been a little bit of strife or a little anxiety, and, you know, it's like the yay, okay, you know, it's done. But it's also referencing commitments, relationships. I see the four of clubs as the only marriage card in the deck. That's my interpretation of it. But it is about commitment, celebration, loyalties, who you ally with. And it may very well be in this situation your reinvention is also in matters of relationships. Now that you've been through a bit of a storm, everything's kind of settling down. What's your vision of the future? Where do you see yourself?
Very interesting. You know, I think that we're all going through shifts of reinvention through different parts of our lives, and I can say that I'm definitely in that now. And you know what you're talking about.
I thought you were deflecting for a minute.
No, what you're talking about now is definitely, you know, on point. So
awesome.
You know, another win for the intuition, but it's interesting, you know, when you think about it like that. And hey, I've been doing some more do-it-yourself things, so my garage is much more organized. It's sad to me. you know, I've been trying to rethink a few things, just nothing foundational. I wouldn't say that, but you know,
it's relationships, your commitments to relationships. I know that you have little hearts flying around your life right now. So,
Well, thank you very much. You know? So it's always exciting.
It is exciting.
It's fun. It's interesting to think about these kind of things. And I thank you for everybody for coming back. You know, it's been a month, really. Mira's telling me that it's time to start wrapping up, but it has been it's been a while, and it's been great being back. And slowly, I'm learning how to talk again, so we're going to get through this together. But,
well, next week we'll have another, as you would put it, Michael, riveting conversation.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating. You know, I don't want to oversell it, but this will change your life. So,
thank you again for everybody's patience and all your kind thoughts and your expressions on social media and being in touch with, I know that a few people got in touch with me wanting to know a little bit more about Michael and, you know, Dr. Kelly and the family. And I know they appreciate it. They
Absolutely.
Send that back to you. But it makes us feel like we really are a family here.
Absolutely.
And so thanks for coming back, everybody. We've missed you. We're glad you're here. And I look forward to next week and the week after and the week after. Dr. Owen says Wednesdays just weren't right.
That's right. That's right. So thank you. We are a family, and that's why, you know, Tabitha, so glad that you're here, so glad that you're part of it, and never give up on anything, and don't doubt yourself. So
no.
So happy to have you as part of this group of ours, and this, you know, little group of this people who are passionately curious about life. And that's the one thing that we share that binds us together as that kind of, you know, family, is that we're passionate about our curiosity, and I love it. So thank you so much. And yeah, it's that time. It's breezed by. And so next week, you were, just to clarify, we were talking about, I think it was the idea of consciousness and how it impacts the world around us, or the natural world specifically.
Well, I think just how we can better deal with some of the difficulties that we're all facing, especially with people.
Right,
and consciousness,
right.
And how consciousness has affected some people in a negative way. We'll figure out a title, Michael.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be sleek. But no, absolutely. Dealing with, in this fractured time, polarized time, I think we all need to learn how to handle these things. And
yeah.
It's an excellent topic. So thanks to, I think that was a kind of inspired by something that Dr. Greg had said. Thank you for the tidbit there. And thank you for everybody for joining us. And as we kind of wrap up, Dr. Ricky, any last thoughts?
No, I'm just glad to be here. I really am. I just want to send love and light to everybody. I hope you all have a great week.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Our thoughts to everybody that has, you know, been through a rough time lately. Just because we've had a storm doesn't mean we're the only ones. And for those that really had a hard time during these storms, thoughts are with you. Thank you, everybody. And looking forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.